Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are going to chat today with Hastings Mayor Mary Fassbender, and she is going to recap the most recent City Council meeting, as well as some other things that are going on in our fair city. Mary, how have you been?
Good, Mo. As I state every month to you, many, many good things going on in Hastings. So it's just unbelievable that the first part of November is
behind
simply
us.
Just gone.
I know.
It's just gone.
I know.
You know, it's amazing. But it's all good, too. You know, there's so much good going on within our community. You know, I'm just always so thankful that I live here and I'm available for people to have meetings with and talk with and hear the good. You know, there are things that aren't always good, but we have a lot of good going on, you know, within our community. So with that, I'll start with our council meeting. And we had a presentation from the Historical Preservation. They have an annual preservation awards. So each year they look throughout the city and people are nominated and they vote for a number of good examples of property that are maintained and restored. So it was very exciting because we haven't done that for a couple years now because of COVID. We reconvened and it was so wonderful to have Cindy Toppin with us. And if people would ever want to go on site to see what I'm speaking of when I'm talking about these awards, they can go onto our website and find the properties that were awarded. So the awards that were given out was for the address of 705 3rd Street West, which is the homeowner of Lisa Duban. And she has done a remarkable job to this old, you know, rustic home, and it just has created a beautiful new site for our community. So it was it was pretty cool. The second one was 623 Tyler, which I never knew this, but it was a rehab of a former jail. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I found out about that when I watched the meeting as well.
Yeah, it was really kind of interesting, and they've really updated that as well, and the homeowners of those are Marcy Sandler and Kenmer LLC. That must be a joint relationship. And then 320 7th Street West, they added on an addition to the house, and that too is just beautiful. I love driving, you know, through the old part of our community and seeing these homes being rehabbed, and they're just beautiful. I mean, some of these homes are from like the 1800s, which is amazing.
It is amazing. Mm-hmm. And to see them brought back to life, and then after they've been brought back to life, to keep them up, you know, has to really be not only a sense of pride from the owners, but it certainly beautifies the city as well. So the preservation,
sure.
Historic Preservation Committee, or is it a commission?
It is a commission.
So
yeah.
they give out these honors randomly, or how does it work? What are the criteria?
I think it's yearly, Mo.
Okay.
And like I said, they just kind of keep, you know, when people are restoring their homes, of course, they have to come to the city and have a building permit and all that. So I think that's part of the scope that they are in tune with. So that's very cool, too. So
what I enjoyed seeing were the before and after pictures. Those really were beautiful. Hastings does have so many historic homes, and even a house that you don't know to be quote-unquote historic, like you said last when you found out some of these hidden treasures in the house, like it was a former jail, or the one house that's across the street from the police station, you know, was a salon, and, you know, couple of different businesses, and yeah, it's wonderful to keep that history alive and current in our town. It's really nice. So, yes, thank you to Cindy Toppin for all of her work on that.
And then there was also a mid-century modern award, and that went to 1120 Tyler Street, which, ironically enough, I think we all kind of know that house. It used to be Ben Sontag's house,
yes.
And then it was the Zuzic home, and then it was the Youngren home, and now it is the Hubley home. So they were awarded that as well. And then Cindy had a stewardship award, and that's for 307 Sibley Street, and that's the Paul and Teresa Kranz home. And people will probably know that home. It's the big yellow house across the street from the PD. And I think now I believe it's a four-apartment complex. That home is beautiful, and it's very meticulously maintained for many, many, many years. So, yeah, like you said earlier, it's just so nice to drive around and still see that historic and people being so meticulous with their yards and the building. So, yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, that was really a fun presentation. So the consent agenda was approved as is, and really, do you see anything on there that stands out that you wanted to highlight to people?
Not necessarily, Mo, because I'll go through that in the public hearings and stuff, too. So, you know, the first hearing was first reading and the order of the public hearing to amend the zoning, but I'll touch basis with that in just a couple minutes. So one of the things we did have was the public hearing for the Comprehensive Plan Amendment 2021, and that's for the mixed high residential area. And this, Mo, is for the UBC building that has been there for years and now has been purchased by the Stencil Group, and that will be a 85-unit apartment complex as well. So we passed that. It's hard to see change, I think, in our community, especially in our downtown area, but I think ArtSpace has kind of started that new type of development into our community, and housing is definitely needed within our city. And I think these new structures between Stencil and the Seaward Project, I think they're different, but they're needed, and I think that's kind of how council has to really look at things like this. It's an opportune time for our downtown to be able to have these new, you know, lives coming into our community. And I think it's going to be very helpful for our small business area and to, like I said, to create some of this housing. So the public hearing was to amend the zoning to high density, which that was done. And then there was also a public hearing to amend the city code to the zoning district. So both of those were done as well to allow Stencil to be able to move forward. Now, this doesn't mean it's done. It will come back to council, and at that time, that is when we'll be able to see what the visual is actually going to look like. Yes, he says it's going to be four stories high. It doesn't exceed, and that's what we changed last night, is the zoning district, you know, from a 47-foot to a 57-foot to allow this building to come in. I don't think it's going to look out of character, because if you know in that area you see Mississippi Terrace, that's a very high structured building as well. So I don't think it's going to exceed that, but it'll be interesting to see when we start to see the planning part of it and the actual building, how it's going to look. And council will have another, you know, we'll have opportune times to look at that, and if we have additional concerns or comments, then we'll bring it to them at that point. So, we have to look at it as, like I said, opportunity. And I feel Hastings is just all corners of the areas that we can grow and utilize are becoming an opportune time for us. So it's all good. Our staff has been amazing. They have been so busy working and bringing these companies in, or actually they reach out to us. It's not like we reach out to them. So I think Hastings is on a really good positive note at this point. Things just seem to be falling into place, and I'm just so thankful for our staff and the hard work that they do on a daily basis. You know, they get inquiries of calls every day, be it business or developments, and they're on it. So through a pandemic, we've gotten a lot done. So I'm
absolutely
very thankful.
So from a timing standpoint, you mentioned the Seaward project, which is, it's in that empty lot currently right downtown.
Correct.
Across from ArtSpace. So
correct.
That project is a little bit further ahead than this stencil project, right?
It is. What they're waiting for now is a grant to help with demolition. And I don't know, I haven't talked, to be honest with you, most recently with Luke, but I think, you know, there's people that are living into that duplex, so I don't know when they'll be, you know, asking them to leave, but I don't think anything's going to really happen as far as construction until very early spring, Mo.
So that's going to be another opportunity for people to live in an apartment-style complex downtown, as well as this new project at the former UBC building, and will be within a couple years, probably?
The way it kind of goes, like, Luke will be able to start. I mean, everything is passed for him, so it's just, like I said, the demolition and going from there. The stencil project, yeah, they're at the beginning stages, so I think Luke's maybe completed by the time theirs starts or, you know, gets near the end. So I think timing is everything, but it's going to all fall into place. It's all good. I know I hear from the downtown businesses that they're very excited just to get some additional foot traffic and, you know, into the community downtown. And, you know, look at the amenities down there with our trail system and the park down there and the pavilion. And, I mean, there's just, I mean, I think of it as a senior person. I'm thinking, gosh, it might be nice just to, you know, be able to live where I don't have a yard. You know, you kind of think of that aspect, but I'm not there yet. But I know a lot of people that are, and they're very excited to see these new developments in the downtown.
So then you had a couple of variances, I know, that were asked for, one involving a side yard setback, just a property near the railroad track, and then another one to place a septic system actually in the city of Hastings.
Correct. So the first one I'll just touch on, you know, that's a tough situation because our, I think, city council really felt, and it was denied by planning as well, so I really felt from a logistical safety standpoint that that garage was really close to the railroad tracks. And, you know, we have to look at these things, and that's why we have ordinances and codes. So that was denied. The variance was denied. So, and again, I felt that we did that for a safety reason, you know, of that homeowner to build a garage. And, you know, he's got ample room. Maybe he'll come back with us at a different, with a different site plan or something that won't be so close to the railroad.
Yeah, the septic system, that was interesting.
So, yeah, so it's interesting because that land has been purchased now, and so I'm assuming it will be it's plenty room for a home on it, but that's right on the corner of Pleasant and County Road 46, Mr. Bauer's property. You know, we only pass these things, and then the future will let us know exactly what is going to be happening there, so... And then we had kind of our final little report from Dan on our CARES Act. And what happened there, Mo, was, you know, we had gotten $1.4 million in the CARES Act dollars. And we also had applied for some FEMA. And so FEMA has allowed us to come back and do an amendment to our city final CARES Act dollars. So we found out that the FEMA dollars could be, we could recover like our masks and goggles, our PPP, you know, maybe the portalettes downtown, which was about a $30,000 to $37,000 bill. So we could transfer that over to FEMA then and put those additional dollars back into our CARES Act. So that was kind of a nice, you know, little extra amount of money that we found out that we had, which is always, we're always grateful of that. So Dan has worked so hard on our CARES Act dollars and the FEMA dollars. So, again, very thankful for all the time that he has put into our last year and a half, almost 2 years now with CARES and COVID. And it's just a lot to kind of handle. And he and Chris Etmeyer from the finance have been working diligently on our budget. So, very helpful.
Has the city's budget been able to accommodate all the extra funding that was needed to get through COVID?
I don't know for sure, but yes, I think pretty much so. We're still working on our budget, of course, and that'll be coming now in the December meeting. But again, staff has just worked so hard in accommodating, you know, the needs of all these, think about it, all these departments that need, it's not wants as much as it's needs.
Right.
You know, just for pure operations. And I hope people really realize that our tax dollars are used for the betterment of this community, be it streets, water, parks. You know, there's just so much that goes into it.
Well, you certainly are doing a great job of educating the public and getting the word out. Mary, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. Mayor Mary Fassbender can be reached at City Hall. You actually keep real hours there. Tell us.
I do. I'm there Mondays. And even if I'm not there, you could easily just call them or call me and set up an appointment. But Mondays, I'm usually there from about noon till 4 or 5. It just all depends. And then Wednesdays, I'm there from about 10 to about 1 o'clock. But other than that, if someone else needs to get in at a different time, I'm open to switching my schedule around, my work schedule around, to accommodate them. And my phone number is 651-587-4867. My email is mayormary@hastingsmn.gov. I would just love to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, Mo, and just be safe and enjoy your families.
Thank you. You too, Mary. Thank you. Mayor Mary Fassbender, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.